Gracious God, I pray today, God, for you to show up. And even more than that, God, because I know you're already here, I pray for us to be open to you showing up. God, I know there's a lot going on in the world and a lot going on in this country. And this may be a week, God, where we don't even know how to pray for healing, for the future. But God, what I pray is that we would be the church and we would stand up and we would respond, God, how you want us to respond. So in some way, whatever we are, wherever we are, whatever our minds are doing this morning, God, open our ears to hear from you. God, I pray that you would open our minds to understanding. And I pray that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. I love suspense movies. I love suspense stories. I don't know about you, but I love those movies that when I get out, my body aches because I've been clenching so much, not knowing what's going to happen in the story. There's a real life thing. It wasn't a movie. January 14th, 2015. After nearly 3 weeks of relentless, exhausting climbing, Kevin Jorgensen and Tommy Caldwell reached the top of El Capitan Rock Formation in Yosemite National Park. They made history as the first people to free climb the rock, the sheer Dawn Wall. And they did this with only ropes attached for when they fell. And they fell a lot. I mean, they fell down time after time after time. They would fall and they would start again, and they would fall and they would start again. 3,000 feet. 32 different sections of rock wall they climbed. Each of these 32 sections are some of the hardest sections of any rock wall in the world. And they did it. And they fell and they got up again, and they fell and they got up again. And people had told them it was impossible, that there was no way they could do it. For 19 days, they slept suspended off of these rocks by ropes. Some of y'all are like, yes. And some of y'all are like, never. But they did. And all the while they were doing this, as their fingers were bleeding because the pain was so bad, they were social mediaing this whole thing. And they were telling the whole world, this is what is happening. And people were hanging on with bated breath. What's going to happen? Are they going to make it? Can they do it? People who didn't care about rock climbing at all, now all of a sudden cared. Can they get up this wall? And it's interesting. Jorgensen said this about it. He said, it's a big dream. It requires teamwork and determination and commitment. And those aren't climbing specific attributes. Those are common to everybody, whether you're trying to write a book or climb a rock. Determination and commitment. Today, as we continue in this series, The Big Dig, we're going to talk about the idea of perseverance. How do we persevere? And we started this series, and we did this series knowing two things were going on right now. One, we're heading into the holiday season. And for some of you, sitting around the Thanksgiving table or sitting around the Christmas table is awesome. And for some of you, you're like, it is the worst time of my life. I do it because you have to, but it's hard because I never know what Uncle So-and-so is going to say. I never know when grandma's going to just let this out and say this thing. Not that. When grandma's going to say something. Sorry, grandma. That's important and hurtful or whatever. And you never know when that's going to happen. So I thought, what if we do this series about how we dig deeply into our faith? And then, oh, by the way, there was this little thing called the election that happened. And it's the most polarizing election, I think, in my lifetime. And it has brought some people great joy in the outcome and some people great pain. And guess what? When we're in a time in our lives where we live in the midst of great joy and great pain, we have got to find a way to love. And I know that is hard. So I thought, what if we do a series where we talk about how we dig deeply into our faith, we actually lean on God in this season? Because friends, it's not the first time in the history of the world there's been a really hard season. It's not the first time in history that there's been a really, really tough time. And even politically, it's not the first time. There was a real political thing going on thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago in Egypt. That political thing was that there was a Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had taken over all the Hebrew people. They had conquered them, and the Hebrew people were the slaves for them. The challenge that Pharaoh and the Egyptian people were having was that the Hebrew people were replicating themselves quite quickly. Things were happening in that culture, and Pharaoh wanted to make sure that that slowed down, that that stopped, because Pharaoh was terrified of an uprising of the Hebrew people. Now, I'm going to introduce you, maybe for the first time today, maybe you know these people, to two women, Shifra and Pua. These are women that are named in the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament, and they do something really, really powerful that you may not even know had a long-lasting effect in history. They saved someone's life. So I want to read to you this morning from Exodus chapter 1. The king of Egypt spoke to two Hebrew midwives named Shifra and Pua. When you're helping the Hebrew women give birth and you see the baby being born, if it's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, you can let her live. Now, the two midwives respected God, so they didn't obey the Egyptian king's order. Instead, they let the baby boys live. So the king of Egypt called the two midwives and said to them, "Why are you doing this? Why are you letting the baby boys live?" And the two midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because Hebrew women aren't like Egyptian women. They're much stronger. And they give birth before any midwives can get to them." Oh. So God treated the midwives well, and the people kept on multiplying and became very strong. And because the midwives respected God, God gave them households of their own. Perhaps Pharaoh should have been a little bit more worried about the little girls than the little boys, right? He's terrified. Ultimately, one of the babies that these two women saved, his name was Moses. Ultimately, these women take that Hebrew baby and they put him in a basket, and Moses goes down the river and he's picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, who takes him in as her own. And Moses ends up being the one that frees the Hebrews out of Egypt. All because these two women broke the rules. I want you to remember their names, Shifra and Pua. Say Shifra. Say Pua. Oh, that was cool. Right? Say that over and over again, because I want to wake up every morning of my life and I want to say Shifra and Pua, because Shifra and Pua are biblical folks who push us to persevere in the midst of hardship. Shifra and Pua push us to be people to respond to what God calls us to do, even when it's hard. So I want to look to see how they inspire us to persevere today. This is a message that's not only about our own inspiration, but how do we inspire others? So here's the first thing that we get from their story. Perseverance is about dreaming. Shifra and Pua had a dream of a different life for the Hebrews. They dreamt of a different future. They dreamt of a hope, of a different reality. They dreamt of more than was the current reality. They could see something that I bet even the Hebrew people themselves couldn't see. They saw for these folks a new world, a better world. Friends, if we try to persevere in this world and believe that we can make no change at all, why does it matter? Why persevere? It's like being on a hamster wheel. We're just saying everything's going to be the same, and we're going to persevere just to be the same. Do you guys remember COVID, anybody? I remember when COVID started, I thought it was going to be a two-week deal. Right? I thought my kids will be out of school for 2 weeks, then they'll go back to school, and then I remember thinking, these children are never going back to school again. And I really had times, again, positivity is one of my number one strengths. I had times in my life where I said, we will never be without this reality. And I remember somebody saying to me, yes, we will be without it. And frankly, we can't change it if we don't have hope for a different future. And that's where doctors came in. And that's where scientists came in. And that's where we paid attention and made good decisions, and we stopped the thing, and we had a different future than COVID. That wasn't our eternal reality. If we're not able to see a different future, it's hard to persevere towards it. These women were able to see that different future. They dreamt of a different future. In the late 1980s, there was a woman named Gayla Benefield. She worked in this small town, Libby, Montana. And it was her job to go around during the day and to read the meters. I don't even think they read meters anymore, right? Like it's all electronic or something like that. But it was her job in the 80s to go by and read all the meters. And she said it was really interesting. What she noticed was that when she was going through these towns and she was reading the meters, she would look in the windows of the houses. A little creepy, right? But she would look in the windows of the houses and she would see people that were in their 40s and 50s at home during the day. And this was before the work from home time. And they were hooked up to machines, oxygen machines. People were sick in this town and nobody was putting it together that it was this great problem in this town. But Gayla said, this is an issue. So she started digging. She found out about the materials that were used to build the homes and found out that the materials that they used to insulate the homes in this little town were filled with asbestos. That asbestos was actually causing health problems to these folks. She persevered. She pushed. She said over and over and over again, NPR covered the story. And she became so annoying to the people. See, they didn't think there was a problem. They just said, this is our batch. This is who we are. She became so annoying to the people that the people got together and they created a bumper sticker in the town. And the bumper sticker, I don't know how all this fit on one bumper sticker, but it said this: yes, I'm from Libby, Montana, and no, I don't have asbestos. Can you imagine? People were so embarrassed by the fact that they couldn't acknowledge that their sickness that they were having was a result of something that was going on. But she pushed further. She reached out to researchers, to scientists, and people started digging, and they found out it actually was a problem. It was a problem that had caused great sickness, and the people of the town said, it can't be. The doctors would have said something to us. Our leaders, the builder, would have said something to us. That would have happened, and they said, that can't be true. Friends, in total, 400 people died from this substance, and 1,200 people were sickened by it. What happened in these homes? In the end, the EPA spent $120 million on the cleanup to try to fix the problem. And the person who covered this story on NPR said this: there's a whole lot of willful blindness around these days. There are issues at work that people are afraid to raise. 85% of people know there's a problem, but they won't say anything. See, Gayla could have just gone about her business and read meters. That was her job. She could have just gone about her business and said, I'm gonna do this role and I'll do it over and over again. And at the end of the day, I'll get my paycheck and I'll go home. But she dreamt of a future that was better for these folks. She said, something's not right and we must do something about it. And as a result, something changed. And that's what Shifra and Pua do. They can get in trouble for this. But they say, something's gotta be different. We have to have a different future. Look at 17 again. Now the two midwives respected God, so they didn't obey the Egyptian king's orders. Instead, they let the baby boys live. That takes me to the second point. Perseverance is often about teamwork. As they say, teamwork makes the dream. Oh, you're so good. You're much better than nine. Don't tell them. But we're going to be doing a lot of that, right? That's fine. But teamwork makes the dream work. What if only one of them had decided to do it? How would that have gone over? But together, they said, collectively, as a team, we can change the future for these folks. And then look at what happens. It says in verse 19, the two midwives said to Pharaoh, because Hebrew women aren't like Egyptian women, they're much stronger and they give birth before any midwives can get to them. You know, it's funny. At both services, people laughed when I read that. That's in the Bible. I didn't write that. That's a real thing that they did, a real story. And you might say, Pastor, why are you holding this up? They lied. They shouldn't have lied. Friends, there are moments in time when you have to fight for justice, even if it seems to be against the law. There are moments in time where you have to stand up against injustice, and that's what happens in this moment. That's what happens in this piece, right? They're held up, and it ultimately says, and God blessed them, because what they were living in was the law of God. They were saying, it is not okay for God that we do these things to these babies. They were doing something as teamwork for the future. The church is a funny thing. If all we do is we come to church, we listen to a message, and we go home, what's the point? But if we come to church and we come collectively, like all of those different groups that came together for that alternative gift fair, if we come to church and we come collectively and we say, together we can do something powerful, think about the difference we can make. I said it this morning to somebody. I have had conversations with people already this morning, one who was really overjoyed by the election and one who was really angry. And I said it to them, if we think that the government of the United States is going to fix all this, shame on us. We are the church. For goodness sakes, God said, don't go get a king. God said, be the church. We have to be the church. We have to work together. We have to come together as a community for those that are marginalized in our society. That's why I don't get people that think they can do church alone. Yeah, you can do church online, but frankly, I don't believe if that's all you ever do and you're never in community with other people. I don't believe you see the good work of transformation that happens as a result of the church. When we do it together. I love this story of Shifra and Pua because it speaks to what Paul talks about when he talks about the formation of the church. When we are the church together, things happen. Transformation happens. Final thing, perseverance is about commitment. I was listening years ago to this podcast on being, and Otis Moss is talking about Howard Thurman, and he talks about a story of when Howard Thurman was a kid. And I love this story. He said Howard Thurman was walking down the street one day, and he saw this guy, and this was the most controversial thing I said at the 9 o'clock service, by the way. He saw this guy planting pecan seeds. The word pecan, I guess, is a little controversial because some people say pecan, some people say pecan. But we always called it pecan pie, not pecan pie. But anyway, Howard Thurman sees this guy planting these pecan seeds. And he's putting them in the ground. And he goes, hey, mister, why are you planting those seeds? He said, you're never going to eat from those trees. You're not going to live long enough. That is rude, right? Like for a kid to say that to an older adult. And Howard Thurman said, and the guy he says it to says, I'm not planting these seeds for me. I'm planting them for people in the future. He says, there were people in my life that planted seeds for me so that I would have trees to eat from. Friends, if we become a society that is so self-focused, this little experiment called humanity is done. If we become a society that's all about us, if we become a people that is all about us, and I'm not saying that just because of what happened on Tuesday, for goodness sakes, we've become people that are more all about us over the last hundreds of years. If we become people that are more about us, this little experiment called the United States of America can go make it. We are called to be people that work together for the transformation of the world. We are the church. We are called to plant seeds for other people. See, Shifra and Pua, they may have never seen Moses grow up to be the leader. They may have never seen what was going to happen, but they planted a seed that day that changed the world. They planted seeds that others would harvest from. They planted seeds that were going to really make a difference that affected the future of the Israelite story. So here's my question today. Will we as a church persevere to a different future than our current reality in the world? Will we as a church persevere for folks who are marginalized? Will we as a church persevere to bring change? Will we stand up against injustice when it happens? Will we commit as a church to being the church? Because frankly, if we don't, what's the point? Perseverance is not about my little thing that I want to happen. Perseverance is about who God calls us to be as a people. Jesus says, love God with all you are and love your neighbor as yourself. No qualifiers. Be the church. Persevere. Let's do it together. Friends, we absolutely can transform the world. And I wonder what sort of fruit might this church be planting for generations we don't even know yet. Amen.